The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. You can find us on Twitter at Bastards_Boston. I am your host, Charlie Smith, coming to you from Los Angeles, California. You can find me on Twitter at Smith_MLB. Our other hosts for this episode are Terry Cushman, coming to us from Myrtle Beach in South Carolina by way of Windham, Maine, and Chris Felico, coming to us from Warwick, New York. Here we go. Another fun episode. Totally legit. We're calling the cops. Terry, why don't you say what you're thinking first?
Well, we got to recap a little bit here from a couple weeks ago. Yeah, we'll just do it. We're not going to spend a ton of time on it, but...
All right, let's do it.
The ones that are applicable anyway. Will the Red Sox fall under 500 for the month of May? Now, these are from our May 7th episode, which was a very good episode if you want to go back and hear the fully extended stuff. So will they fall under 500 for the month of May? Charlie, you and I, we got it right so far. Totally legit, we said. And I took it a step further and said we'll be under 500 overall for the year at that point. Cody, yeah. Mr. Optimist, called the cops on that one. So, filed a false police report. I'm assuming we're not going to do good there. All right, here's the next one. Tyler O'Neill will lead the Red Sox in home runs for the month of May. You said totally legit because why the bleep wouldn't you? I called the cops because I said it would be Devers.
I think Cody said yes.
And Cody said totally legit. So I was the adult in the room on that one. Now, to be fair,
wow.
I think it's only, what, a 2 or 3 run difference between Devers and O'Neill? Devers is at 6.
Devers has 5. Does he have 6 now?
Yeah.
After okay, so I think O'Neill, if I'm not mistaken, has 2.
Oh, it's over. It's over. I'm calling it. Cooper Criswell will make 12 starts through the regular season. He was at, 3 at the time? And I think he's tacked on at least 2 since then.
Yeah, he's at, I think...
Oh, here we go.
I got it. 5 or 6 on the year?
Game started...
He's got 6 starts.
Yeah, he's halfway there. And then this week will be number 7. So... Yep.
So I think we all said yes.
We all did say totally legit. And the last one before we get to the newer ones, Willier Abreu will lead the Red Sox in RBIs for the month of May. Charlie, you said totally legit.
Love
and
that.
Me and Cody called the cops on that one. Let's see. RBIs. Wow, I even have the split up, so I don't even have to mess with that. Let's see. Devers 14, Abreu 4. I'm calling it. It didn't happen. It's not going to happen. He'd have to hit like 3 grand slams in the next week to make that work. So, Charlie, you whiffed. Totally legit. So,
you know, I really want to say that I was trying to be the optimist there. You know, I was feeling real good. I was feeling myself. I think I did all right with the whole Tyler O'Neill bit, but you know, you don't always hit him, and that's okay. That's all right.
I just want to pat myself on the back now that I went all the way through these. I'm pretty much either correct or trending correct on all of them. So, all right, go ahead with the new ones.
Right on. Excellent. Thank you, T. So with our first bit of totally legit or calling the cops, number one, is this totally legit or are you going to call the cops here? Rafael Devers finishes up his career with the second most home runs in Red Sox history. Obviously, Ted Williams, 521, David Ortiz, 483, Carl Yastrzemski, 452, Jim Rice, 382 are the top four. Dwight Evans just three behind in fifth at 379. Then it drops off 100 plus for Manny Ramirez. But is this totally legit or calling the cops? Chris, why don't you go first?
You said top two, correct, Troy?
Top two, man. Yep.
So he's 303 behind. He'd have to hit about 30, 31 home runs to do that. Man, it's going to be close. I think it comes within 15 either way. I'm going to say calling the cops.
Terry.
I'm going to say it's totally legit. Before he was 25 years old, only Ted Williams, before he was 25, had hit more than Devers. So another reason for this, and I'm always skeptical on what's going on with the baseballs, and they were flying in St. Louis. So I don't know if they're going to be juiced a little bit more from year to year, perhaps some years less. And I think he's elite. I really think Devers is an elite hitter in the batter's box. And I think he's going to have some seasons of 40 and 45 home runs hit. So I'm going to say totally legit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just doing a quick bit of math. Looking at what he's been able to do for a couple of seasons already, he's been able to hit that 30 plateau already. So assuming he gets a little bit more, I'm going to call it, you know, 9 times 33. We're at 297. 297, and he's probably going to play more than that, plus his 180. He's at 477. 477 gives him 6 underneath David Ortiz. I think it's totally legit, but I'm going to put a little asterisk next to it because we know the injuries are going to happen. He's probably going to play more than the next, you know, 9, 10 years. And in those last 3 years, he's probably going to hit another 50 to 70 home runs. I think it's going to happen, and it's going to be a swing of either 7 to 10, let's call it 10 to 15, above or below that number. Will he hit 500? That'd be incredible. If he hits or comes close to Ted Williams, he'll finish up as a Hall of Famer. No doubt about it. Absolutely incredible. Chris, I think you – oh, sorry, Terry. Why don't you go first?
Just a question for you guys. He's not going to be at third base forever. He's eventually going to be a DH. So does he hit more home runs as a DH than he does at third base, or will it not matter? Because I think he'll probably hit more as a DH.
More. He's less likely to get injured or hurt. So it makes more sense that he's going to be hitting more home runs. He's just going to be able to focus on hitting. You know, he won't have to worry about fielding. Chris?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point because I was taking into account potential injury. I still listen, even just his body stature, there's still the propensity. He's gotten hurt swinging the bat. So, I mean, that it's definitely a possibility. We also do know, though, that Gerrit Cole's not going to pitch for the Yankees forever. So that's gonna put a damper on his home run total too, Terry. I don't think he took that into account.
Fair enough.
Excellent. Right on. So, I think this is going to be one that we're obviously gonna have to check back in 10 years. So no one go anywhere for 10 years. We'll come back and I'm sure still be talking about this one. Number two on totally legit or calling the cops, Vaughn Grissom will have a better batting average than Seidon Rafaela by the end of the year. Is this totally legit? Or are you calling the cops? Chris.
Is he getting the 14 pounds back? Gosh. This is a tough one. I'm going to say totally legit with the hopes that he does get the 14 pounds back and he gets to a place where he's even three quarters of what he was advertised when we traded for him. Based on what I've seen with Rafaela, he reminds me a lot of Jackie Bradley Jr. at this point. Amazing defense, but very streaky with the bat. There's going to be days he's going to run into multiple home runs, but there's going to be days he's going to have golden sombreros. So I'm going to be optimistic with Grissom, and I'm going to say yeah.
Terry?
Just pulling up his career average at the major league level, it was, it's dropped some. It was around 275. It's 262 now. He only has 7 hits and 47 at-bats. This, like Chris said, this is really tough. I'm going to say, I forgot how we worded it already. I'm going to say Grissom has the higher batting average. So is that totally legit? Is that where I'm going? Okay. I wasn't quick enough to pull up his minor league numbers, but we haven't heard that throughout his career, pitch recognition, all those red flags that the nerds like to associate with Rafaela, haven't been the same. We haven't been hearing that with Grissom. I think he's gonna be a 260, 270 hitter with the possibility to be maybe 10 or 15 points higher that over his career. It's been an ugly start. He didn't have a spring training. We've got some tough pitching ahead of us for the rest of the month. We got Tampa coming up. You got the Orioles. The Tigers are pitching pretty well, especially if we run into Tariq Skubal, who I think was a popular Cy Young pick with us prior to the season. I picked Reagans, but I don't know. I kind of want it to be Rafaela. I really want him to be the guy, but I think Grissom has less red flags, and I think he'll, once he gets it figured out, I think he'll find his rhythm and be very serviceable in the batter's box.
I just don't know how Vaughn Grissom can't, get back to where he was. I can't honestly sit here and think that Vaughn Grissom is like Daniel Craig, or not Daniel Craig. Oh my God. What's the guy who came in for Alan Craig, who came in from St. Louis? Barry, I'm thinking about James Bond. There's just no way. Vaughn Grissom cannot be this bad. Like, you can't go from what you were 2 years ago. I think it's just he needs to make the adjustment and he needs to get back to where he was. And if it takes a little bit of time and a week or whatever to figure it out, this is not the Vaughn Grissom that we know. There's just no way. Like, the reason why Vaughn Grissom left Atlanta was because there was a logjam of shortstop and second baseman in Atlanta. There was no need for Vaughn Grissom. He was not going to fit in that absolute star-studded lineup. Your first baseman and third baseman, Austin Riley, Matt Olson, you're not going to play the corner. Second base, you got Ozzie Albies. Shortstop is Orlando Arcia. He's not going to play over any of those guys, and they're going to be playing close to 155, 160 games. There's really no spot for him. You can get a backup guy to spot start in there. So it's just, it didn't make any sense for Vaughn Grissom to be there. Am I disappointed with what we've seen so far? Yes. Do I think he can come back? Yes, I do. And I think that Vaughn Grissom will say totally legit here for me, totally legit. I think he will end up with a better batting average and overall better numbers. Terry, go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you off there. So I hadn't really looked this up previously. I'd only looked at his major league numbers, but Grissom was a pretty elite hitter as a minor leaguer, a career 320 average in just about 1,300 at-bats with a 408 on base. So that gives me a little bit more confidence. Rafaela also has decent minor league numbers, which kind of surprised me. Based on the fact that so he's a 280 career minor league hitter. So it's two different animals. I think Rafaela probably projects a little bit better from a power standpoint, but as far as a lot of other metrics, average and on base, namely Grissom should, have a better career and you know, short term and long term.
Right on. Chris, anything else you want to add to that one? Sliding in. Number three, totally legit or calling the cops. Of the prospects in the minors, is this totally legit or are you calling the cops? Marcelo Mayer is still the first one and most likely to be called up first. Terry, go first.
I'm going to say totally legit on that one. Our middle infield isn't very settled right now. Rafaela did make at least one or two starts this past series in center field. You have Romy Gonzalez, who he's had a couple of key hits in the last week or so. But if you're looking for a spark, I just think Mayer could be the guy to do that. He's hitting just over 300 now in AA with a 360 on base. So things are trending upward with him. It wouldn't shock me to see him get a promotion to AAA by the end of June. And I think if we've learned anything with the mindset here of this Red Sox front office, I don't think they're really worried about service time anymore. If you're going to call up a guy like Mayer, you probably got plans to give him that pre-arb extension regardless. So I think based on necessity, based on the way things are trending with him, I'm going to say totally legit.
Chris?
Yeah, I mean, think about just like the last question we asked, right? Like we're talking about our starting center fielder, who's our shortstop right now, and our second baseman, like who's going to have a better batting average. Right now the position of need is the infield, especially up the middle. The only thing that I think could make things interesting is it's certainly not Kyle Teal with Wong. They've given him no reason to even think about Kyle Teal right now. Is with Abreu and Duran, one of those may have to force the front office to think that they might have to trade high on one of those players, that they may not be on the Red Sox, which could make things interesting as far as with Roman Anthony being an outfielder. But I think just based off of position and need, Mayer makes more sense. So I'm going to say totally legit on that.
Yeah, I mean, Terry, just to kind of echo what you said, when you talk about the positions of need, I don't think there's any need whatsoever to rush Kyle Teal. You do not need to rush him at all. I mean, a year, maybe two, who knows? But either way, Connor Wong right now has firmly planted himself as your one number two. So, you know, we have a lot of questions surrounding number one, as in the pitcher slot, but the number two slot, the catcher spot, I mean, that's Wong. He's firmly in place there. The shortstop question, we still don't have any answers. Like, we don't have anything definitive. We don't know what Trevor Story is going to be back or what he's going to be like when he does come back next year. If he comes back at the beginning of the year, we have no idea. And if he does return, do you want him as a shortstop? Do you want him as a second baseman? Because I don't know. And with Vaughn Grissom, does he have the flexibility of playing other positions? There's so many question marks with Marcelo Mayer as well. If he were to come up, he's your shortstop. That's it. Done. Is he going to play every day? You'd hope so. But is it going to happen? I have no idea. I'm curious to know if Vaughn Grissom, and I don't have his height in front of me, I'm curious to know how tall Vaughn Grissom is too. Back to Vaughn for a moment. If, to your point, you know, Terrence, we talked about this before. If Devers does not end up being the full-time third baseman, if someone can slot over to third, you know, maybe you have like an elite shortstop third baseman combo there, similar to what the Yankees had. 6'3". Perfect. Okay, cool. Right on. Thank you, Chris. I'm curious to know if the Red Sox can create that formidable dynamic duo at short and third, similar to what the Yankees did with A-Rod and Derek Jeter. If you have an elite shortstop and third baseman, maybe the home run numbers and RBI numbers aren't there, but if the batting average numbers could be there, that could be a really special 1-2 or 1-3 in the lineup in the future. So I also do think that's totally legit. Terry, go ahead.
Well, you brought up a really interesting point because I was already going to ask. I mean, Trevor Story is going to come back next year. And I mean, if you're going to call up Mayer, what do you do? Because Grissom's at second and Atlanta was planning on converting Grissom into an outfielder. So that's one possibility, but you raise a very interesting point here. If Devers comes off a third right away, you're going to have problems with Yoshida now that I think about it. But let's just say you just, I don't know. What if you just Pablo Sandoval Yoshida?
Good Lord. Good Lord. Oh my God. No, I'm actually thinking Devers, who's 6 feet. He's not taller than Grissom. Grissom's a little taller. To Chris's point, I just wasn't sure about how much, but 3 inches, that's a pretty big distance right there. Six foot three, a little bit more wingspan. You're probably covering maybe another foot. And Devers doesn't move as well as Von Grissom does. So having Von Grissom move over to third base, maybe play a little bit deeper, may not necessarily be the worst case scenario. I don't know if I want Trevor Story over at third. I don't know if I want him manning the hot corner, to be completely honest. I'm happy. I'm moved that you were able to think about this in a way that really does have and should have Boston Red Sox and the Red Sox Nation wondering, because we keep breaking players. And Marcel Mayer, if he lights up and becomes the everyday shortstop and is hitting over 300 in Boston, what do you do with Cedon Rafaela? What do you do with Trevor Story? What do you do with Von Grissom? And granted, one of those guys is going to win second base, but they're not going to win third base, and they're not going to win first base. So it does force that question, you know, are they, you know, open to playing in the outfield? To your point, Terry, Vaughn had no spot in the infield. There was nowhere to put him. So he had the choice of being a catcher. That's not happening. Becoming a pitcher, no. Or becoming an outfielder. So to your point, some of these guys are going to have to think about becoming Swiss Army knives, similar to the Kike Hernandez, you know, back in the day when he played second, short, third. And now he's playing third base flawlessly because he's not dealing with double hernia, you know, since we're talking about that for 2 seconds. But that's the case right now. You know, you are going to have so many question marks with this infield. And it starts with Von Grissom, Trevor Story, Devers, Cedon Rafaela. There's four people, two positions.
Well, I think the one thing that's absolutely certain here is in 2025, next season, Rafaela goes back to the outfield. Like, it's the most seamless thing you can do if you've got a logjam. So put the guy in the outfield that can play the outfield. The interesting thing here is, I mean, I think you got to leave Grissom at second. If it's working out, and it is, I mean, I did kind of complain. I don't think he gets to some of those ground ball line drives. Perhaps he will as the season continues, you know, especially if he gains 14 pounds, since that's, you know, an inner joke already. But so, and I think Meyer's going to be the shortstop. So what happens with Trevor Story? To me, that's the big mystery now. What happens with Trevor Story? Does he play third base?
I don't even know if he's ever played third base. I'm going to look it up right now because
I think
Trevor Story,
if you're an elite shortstop, you can play third.
He's 6'2". I mean, he should be able to. You're right. He should be able to.
The only question is, did the arm come back? I wasn't really paying attention.
He's less likely to get injured playing third base than he is at short. He's not going to be making those crazy dives. You know, like, I mean, it hurt. Like, he made a great play to stop that ball. But as soon as he went down, done. And I just don't think you're going to be doing that. He's going to be doing a little bit more of, like, just kind of moving over to the right or to the left and just picking balls. So I think it's a safer spot for him to potentially move over to third baseman. And then maybe you either convert Devers to becoming a DH earlier than expected, or you ask him to consider playing first base, third base, and DH.
Yeah. With Story, though, just to be clear, I was more talking about the elbow because he had the bracing done. So I don't know if he's back to slinging it the way that he used to be. But it's a really intriguing, you know, scenario to pay attention to over the winter. And you're probably going to have those questions directed at a new manager. He's going to have to be the one to answer all that.
Yeah, absolutely. That is going to move us into our fourth and final totally legit or calling the cops topic. So Paul Skeens has taken the league by storm with his current style of pitching, throwing over 100 miles an hour, striking out the first six, seven guys of an appearance. With all that being said, does PK, yes, the initials, I just gave him initials, does PK finish in the top 10 with strikeouts in 2024? Is that totally legit? Are you calling the cops?
I'll go first. So he's got 18 strikeouts now in two games. So you figure he might get 23 more starts. So he's about 9 per game. And if I look at the person, let's say Cole Reagan, that's Terry's boy, he's got 64 strikeouts to this point in 10. So that's 6.4 average, 9. So I'll be conservative. I'll cut that 2.6 difference, and let's just say it averages out to closer to 2. 2 and 23 is 46. He's 46 away from Cole rounding out the top 10 now. So that would put him just in if that trajectory stayed the same. I'm going to say calling the cops if that's just too close of a margin. But it's going to be closer than it looks, if that makes any sense. But I'm still calling the cops.
Terry.
This is a hard one. And, you know, there's a lot of mystery here because we're working on a two-game sample size for Skeens. But I'm going to call the cops on it. And I think a lot of pitchers, as the season goes on, they're going to settle into their routines. And you'll probably see an uptick from some of them in the second half. So if I'm wrong and Skeens gets there, I mean, he's probably going to have some Cy Young voting as well. He could probably win Rookie of the Year still at this point, I would think. So, you know, it's intriguing, but I'm going to call the cops for now.
I am going to say it's totally legit, and here's why. When you have a flamethrower like Paul Skeens in your arsenal, right? He struck out 11 Chicago Cubs in six innings, allowing no hits. This is giving me Corbin Burns vibes all over. That warm and fuzzy feeling I had about CB way back, I know, Terry, you're smiling. But when I called Corbin Burns, I was feeling really good about it because the guy was just electric, was not missing. And if he's striking out 10 to 12, I'm curious to know what happens. And barring injury and barring a limitation to how many pitches he's allowed to throw, if they extend him, because I don't know, I'm going to look it up right now, how many pitches he had. 100 pitches, 6 innings, 11 strikeouts, 1 walk. Absolutely electric, elite. Has given up one home run. Not really, you know, a concern in my eyes. He's only faced Chicago both times. He made the adjustments in the second game. He went 3 runs on 6 hits and 4 innings, struck out 7, almost 2 an inning, to 6 innings, 11 strikeouts. He's averaging almost 2 strikeouts an inning. So if this guy ends up going another 100, I do not think he's going to be able to keep that up for the remainder of the year, because you know there's going to be a couple of blips where he goes 5 or 6 innings and only strikes out 3. That's going to happen. But I think there's going to be far more where you see him get 10, 11, 12 or more. It wouldn't surprise me to see somebody like that do what Corbin Burns did and strike out 15 or 16. I'm going to double down and say it wouldn't surprise me to see somebody like this get a dozen back-to-back times or even 3 times in the span of 1 month. I think that Skeens has all the assets to be elite and a future face of pitching in Major League Baseball, assuming he can keep that up. Walker Buehler had that for the Dodgers and then unfortunately had TJ surgery, and everyone thought he was like the second coming. Assuming Paul Skeens does everything right, this kid is 21 years old. He's 21, and he's already lighting it up. I think he's going to be the next guy to strike out 300 guys or more in a couple of seasons. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get 300 in the next 2 years. But I think it's totally legit. I think he'll finish in the top 10. And to your point, Terry, Cy Young votes for sure.
The real tragedy here is that
he plays in Pittsburgh.
He got drafted by the Pirates. Yeah, it took.
It helps when your team sucks. It does help. Sorry, Pittsburgh, but I mean, you guys got an elite guy because your team has been bad.
So what Charlie is saying is that Breslow needs to get on the phone and we put a package together. We get Brian Bayo, maybe even throw Von Grissom in there. And we just get Skeens over here. I like it.
I think it's going to take way more.
I'm trying to sell high. Wink, wink.
Think about all the guys that have come out of Pittsburgh that are elite. Gerrit Cole, Glasnow, Paul Skeens, who's there. There was another one that came out a couple years ago, also with the Yankees. Oh my God, starting pitcher. Drawing a blank on his name.
Nestor?
Nope, not Nestor. There's another guy. Nestor drives me nuts. It was an appearance he had. I'm going to, you know, kind of freestyle for 2 seconds. He did this thing where he like fake threw the ball and then threw the ball like 2 seconds later. It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It should have been a balk and then like an ejection just for stupidity.
Oh, you're thinking of Tyon, I think.
Jameson Tyon. Yeah, Tyon. I mean, they've had elite pitchers coming out of Pittsburgh and they come to themselves. I mean, here's the thing. If we're seeing this right now in Pittsburgh and he leaves and goes to the Yankees or the Braves and you match him up with what they have in Atlanta, oh my God. Could you imagine that? And he's 21. Means after arbitration and whatnot, he's here. 4 years, he's going to sign possibly one of the biggest deals a pitcher could get, assuming he can continue doing what he's doing. I don't think this is going to be someone that flames out. I also don't think this is a one-trick pony. I think he's going to be able to keep it up. Anything else that either one of you guys want to add? Right on. Well, I want to thank you, Chris and Terry, for joining me. That is going to do it for this episode of Totally Legit or Calling the Cops. Everyone, take care.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.